Last week, I did begin a series. I really felt led to go into this series this way, and I've struggled this week with some things on my mind, but the Lord was faithful because he is faithful. And I started a sermon series entitled Four-Letter Words with Big Impact. So four-letter words. And I was thinking on that. Last week, I spoke about fear, okay? And that's a four-letter word that can have a big impact on your life. Now, if you listened last week, there was a positive side to it because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there is a measure of reverence, but even sometimes in responding to situations, as long as it doesn't become panic, sometimes fear creates movement. And it's a tool that's often been used for evangelization. We save some by fear, pulling them from the fire. It's what the scripture says. The Bible says that Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. But fear can also have torment if you don't rest in the Lord and his redemptive work. Come on. And then fear can lead to panic, and it can also give place to demonic powers who come to steal, kill, and to destroy. And we can open ourselves up to a lot of things. That's why throughout the Word of God we see fear not. Fear not. Now, I shared with you one brief example of when Jesus was with Jairus, who was en route to the home of Jairus, whose daughter had been sick when Jairus left to get Jesus, but by the time, before they could get back home, she's passed away. Y'all remember this. And Jairus hears the word, the negative word. Your daughter is dead. Don't bother the master any farther. But Jesus immediately reproves and speaks into that moment. He says, Jairus, fear not. Because in that moment of time, fear can be overwhelming. It could come in, and your response to it's going to determine the outcome. And he said, fear not, believe only, and your daughter shall be made whole. It's a powerful word. I encourage you to go back. So fear can certainly be devastating and can give place to demonic powers, but by the grace of God. I love the scripture in Psalm that when the psalmist said, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Now you should sing that under your breath. God, what time I am afraid, I can trust in the Lord. Amen. So I've discovered on this journey many four-letter words that have big impact. Fear, as mentioned. Envy. Pray. Come tonight, pray. That'll be an addendum. It's not part of the series, but we'll just call it tonight. Pray. Love. Kind. Evil. Heat. Work. Sherry helped me with some of these. Hate. Good. Hell, dead, live, free, poot. When we had six children, it was a small word with big impact. Have you noticed most curse words are four-letter words? We won't go over those here today. So we're going to pray. And I'm going to borrow a sermon title from a good friend of mine, preached in this church a long time ago. I want y'all stand up. We're going to pray. Today, borrowed from our own JoJo Riggs, yet there is hope. How many believe in hope today? Amen. You might need hope. That's good, because he's the God of hope. Come on, somebody. Hope is a four-letter word that has big impact. Come on, amen? Let's pray. Father, I love you today, and I'm grateful. I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this house today. My heart is filled with faith today, God, in believing. And I pray today, God, that you will grant us this great grace that we would call hope today. God, our thoughts run along the line of Scripture where I find many references to hope. I pray, Lord, today, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice that almost, if they were being honest, feels hopeless, that today would be a day, today would be the day when the God of hope would grant the grace of hope in our heart and life. It's in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen and amen and amen. I am so excited to share what the Lord, I believe, has laid on my heart here today. Now, let me just establish a little bit of a foundation, as I often try to do. Now, often a word that's used in our culture that we become familiar with does not necessarily carry the same meaning in the biblical context. And I think hope would fall into that category. So hope would be, let me share with you a few ways in which it would be used. Often hope is a word that's used by politicians for political change. Hope. I think Barack Obama ran years ago on hope and yes, we can. Sports enthusiasts will say something like this: man, I sure hope the Hogs can beat Bama this year. Woo. Farmers will often say, I sure hope it rains this week. Students will say, I sure hope I pass this test, or I can pass this test. A young man may say, I hope she's going to go out with me when I ask her. I've heard this one before. A speeding driver who sees the police on the side says, man, I hope I don't get pulled over. I didn't produce this next one. I just copied and pasted it. This one hope can be used negatively. I hope your hair falls out and you lose all your money. Now, I don't know what sicko put that one down there, but someone did. The Democrats may say, I hope Biden withdraws from the race. The Republicans may say, I hope Biden stays in the race. That's what we need to be saying. I thought, no, this will offend somebody if I say this. The Republicans would say, I hope the election will not be stolen this year. Yes, I did say that, so you can go ahead and put me down for it. A member of First Assembly of God, Heber Springs, may say, I hope our pastor doesn't preach as long as he normally does. The primary use of the word hope in our culture is this: it's something we want. We want it to come to pass or to happen. So one definition says hope, listen to what it says, is defined in the culture today. Hope implies little certainty, but suggests confidence or assurance in the possibility that which one desires or longs for will happen. So that's the way we use the word. It's primarily a longing or a wanting of something, but with little confidence or certainty that it's actually going to come to pass. But biblically, hope carries an entirely different context. And we have to look at it. I want to look at it through the lens of the Scriptures. Amen? So when you see the Word of God and hope in the Word of God, there are two words in the Old Testament and the New. There's multiple words translated into the English language of hope, but two primarily. In the Hebrew, it means to wait primarily. But then you take the Greek, and it means to anticipate with pleasure and expectation and confidence. So if you fold those two together, it does involve waiting, but you don't wait without expectation. You expect something. You don't just want it to happen. You're expecting it to happen. Come on. So the modern culture uses hope for a longing or a want, something that will possibly happen. But the biblical culture in possessing hope is that we are confident and we expect that it's going to come to pass. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, hope, let me tell you what hope is not. Hope is not faith. Now, what I've often described as the difference, now they're very similar. I've described them as twin sisters, just not identical twins. But they're very similar, and they're used together often. Even the Apostle Peter said this. He said, your faith and hope. And you'll see a number of passages in the Word of God that seem to kind of blend this together. But the Bible briefly distinguishes the two in one of the most famous passages in the Word in Hebrews 11:1, which it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things that are unseen. And so hope is the expectation of believing. So let me say it again. What hope is inside of you is the capacity to believe. Hope is that part of you then that expects something, that you're expecting. You're not just waiting. You're not just in a patient that without trust and relying upon the Lord, but you have this agitation within you that God is going to fulfill His word exactly as He promised. Well, let's go deeper. The Bible defines hope to a certain degree. So we're going to turn to, I think, three passages today briefly, but we're going to look in the book of Romans for a few passages, but here for just two verses initially, Romans chapter number 8. In the text, Paul gives a little bit of revelation of what hope does. Again, the writer of Hebrews says that faith is the substance of what you're hoping for. So here now, he addresses hope. He said in the 24th verse of the 8th chapter, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? So obviously, there's a part of our salvation that we are in possession of right now, and that is the indwelling Holy Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. But there is yet more to come, right, that I'm not in possession of right now. It's unseen to me. He said, but if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. So read that, because there's the depth of the revelation of hope. For if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it, but I expect it to come to pass. So in essence, I'm not in a glorified body today. And I know many of you say, I'm thankful, because if that's the best there is. And so I know, but I have a hope for, and I have an expectation that one day I'll be clothed upon the way that He's clothed upon today. Now, I'm in the process of building a small little tiny house at our farm for the congresswoman. And in that, but you know what? The reality is God is building me a house right now. And I'm not in possession of it. But I believe in it. And I wait for it. And I'm expecting it. Right? I'm trusting the Lord with all of my heart. I know it's going to come to pass. It's not just, in essence, a longing or a want. It's a belief of expectation. Let's go farther, if we can, for just a little bit. When you have true hope, you live with that expectation. Paul said this, according to my earnest expectation and my hope. So in the process or the act of believing, hope is expectation that what you hope for, you will receive. Let's go back in the book of Romans again and see if we can look at an example that will help us understand the power of hope in the life of a believer. God is the God of hope. God wants you to live with hope. It's the you know what? Oftentimes that's said about preachers of faith, it says that we give people a false hope. I curse that in the name of Jesus, because with God, all things are possible. And as a believer, we should always have hope. So in Romans chapter number 4, Paul again addresses, and using in the verbiage here of hope, he begins to use the example of Abraham. And he's referencing a particular moment in the life of Abraham. He says, as it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God. So Abraham, if you understand the story of Abraham, had already had the moment of belief in which he was reckoned to be righteous, whom he believed. When he believed, God, who quickens the dead, will call those things which be not as though they were. Now, there's much depth to this verse of Scripture, but God spoke to Abraham about being a father of many nations before he ever had seed in the earth. Because, as Caleb spoke earlier, God finishes something before he ever begins it. And so in this passage here, he is simply saying when God called Abraham when he was dead in his loins, but God called him not as he physically was, but he spoke into existence what he wanted him to be. The 18th verse. So then, with that promise in the heart of Abraham that he would have a son, he was against hope, but he believed in hope. Now, you got to read that and ponder. It was against, why was it against hope? Because the narrative of Abraham is, the narrative of Abraham is, the time this word came to him, he was beyond the physical ability to produce offspring. And his wife's womb was dried and dead, and she had passed the flowering of her age. She too had no natural capacity to produce life. But Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope that he would become the father of many nations. Look what, let's read this next couple of verses. He was not weak in faith. He considered not his own body now dead, about 100 years old, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb. And he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. And he was fully persuaded. And that's what you and I have to be. For faith to eventually be, for our hope to give place to faith, we have to believe that what God promises, he will perform. Come on, that's a good word, isn't it, church family? Fully persuaded. The promise is unseen. He expected what God promised that he would perform. Now, the narrative of Scripture, I thank God for the Word of God today, don't you? And I feel privileged to be in this house with the opportunity to speak the Word to you, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And it's my desire, my hope within me is that as I minister the Word and become a conduit, if you will, of the Word of faith to come, that hope will arise in your heart. Because God wants you to be a person of hope. Abraham, against hope, he believed in hope and became the father of the faith. So Romans chapter 15, verse 4 was a verse of Scripture that we went over many times back during the Word of Faith series. In Romans 15 and 4, it says, the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning. Well, you missed a good place to say amen. Written for our learning. You got to learn the Word of God. Right? So it's written for our learning. That's why you read it, study it, meditate upon it, hide it in the depths of your heart, and confess it and speak it aloud. Right? And so it's written for our learning, right, that we, through the patience and the comfort of the Scriptures, he says, Romans 15 and 4, might have hope. So what does the Scriptures teach as to what we should hope in or hope for? So let me just share some things with you. The psalmist said, be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, all you that hope in the Lord. Amen. Psalm 33 and 18 says, hope in his mercy. Oh, thank God. God is merciful. As faith and hope are twin sisters, but not identical twins, so is mercy and grace. Hope in his mercy. Come on, somebody. Psalm 39 and 7 says, my hope is in the Lord. Psalm 42 and 11 says, you speak to yourself. If you find yourself in a hopeless situation in your heart or you feel downcast, the psalmist began to speak to himself, and he asked himself a very hard question. He said, why art thou disquieted? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? And he spoke to his own soul, and he said this, hope thou in God. Trust in the Lord. Psalm 130 and 5 says, I will wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. If you'll study the Scriptures, you'll find that that's said many times throughout the Word of God, hope in his word. So if you possess hope, what does having that expectation do for you? What does it do for you? Job 11, 18 says, thou shalt be secure because there's hope. It brings a sense of security. In unsettling times, political upheaval, economic crisis, but it can't move us, right? I could preach on, Craig's been wanting me to preach on Psalm 91. I'll just give you a little tidbit of it here today. It says, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh unto me, because only with my eyes shall I see the reward of the wicked. Come on, somebody. So in uncertain times, I've got hope, right? There's a security. Psalm 16 and 9, in the context of hope, says this, my heart is glad. It gives me joy. If you've got hope, you've got a smile on your face, right? You live life. You may go through difficult times, but you can go through the difficult times with joy. Psalm 31 and 24 says, hope is my strength and courage, right? So I gain strength because of hope. I have courage to face the challenges of life because I have hope in God. I have an expectation in the Lord that God is for me and he is not against me. And you've got to get that down in your heart, because if you don't, then when anything goes bad in your life, then you'll always think that God is fighting against you. And I'm not saying that God doesn't have us in seasons at times of trial. I'm going to touch on that in a moment of time. But I can tell you right now, if you're in a season of trial, the only thing God's doing in you is refining you and purifying you. He didn't come to steal, kill, and to destroy. The enemy came to do that. But he does come to refine his children and purify his children. And so, so we trust the Lord. Look what he said in Psalm 42. It said, it lifts our countenance. I just think that we should have our countenance lifted as children of God. You know what that means? Just think about that. We live in a generation of all these types of surgery. You can have a facelift. You can have a butt lift. I won't even mention some of the other things you can have lifted. Let me tell you, you need your countenance lifted. And I'm not talking about plastic surgery that's fake. I'm talking about a divine work of hope in the heart and life of a believer that will lift your countenance because it affects the lives of others. Your countenance will. Psalm 71:14 says, I will hope continually and I will yet praise you more and more. So hope stimulates praise. Oh, I'm preaching better than y'all are shouting today. Listen, if we would come in here every Sunday with a heart of expectation, which is hope, then praise is easy. Come on, somebody. Praise is easy in the house of God because of the work of hope in the heart and life of a believer. Psalm 119, verse 114 says, hope is a hiding place and a refuge. You can take refuge in hope. Psalm 147 and 11 says, the Lord, listen to this, this will help you. The Lord takes pleasure in those who hope in his mercy. So let me just see if you can put that and make it make sense to you. God is pleased. I said it earlier. God is pleased when you have faith. God is pleased when you believe. Again, I'm going to go back to it. There's no place in the Word of God where you will be reproved for faith, but you will be reproved for unbelief. But hope, then, the Word of God says, God takes pleasure in those who hope in his mercy, who trust in him, who has an expectation that God is faithful. So Romans 15 and 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, listen to this, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Spirit of God. So if we as sanctified, set apart believers filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, one of the works of grace where that's evident in our life is now we are walking in hope. In every area of our life, we have hope because we trust in the Lord. And it's not us getting alone and mind over matter. It is a supernatural work of the power of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God puts it inside you. The Spirit of God bubbles it up in your heart and life. And it's reflected in your countenance. It's reflected in your words. It's reflected in the way that you act and talk to others because of the hope that we have in God. Oh, that's a good word right there. The reason that's a good word is because it is his word, right? Let me read it to you one more time. It's the God of hope who will fill you with joy and peace in believing, and you may abound in hope. You may abound in hope through the power of the Spirit. 2 Corinthians 3 and 12, in the context of hope, Paul said this. He said, we use great plainness of speech, which plainness in the King James there means boldness. So in essence, he said, we feel empowered. We feel empowered to say things. We say things confidently. We say things boldly because of hope, the expectation that we have inside of us as a direct work of the grace of God in our heart and life. Did you know that hope is inside of you is a great tool of evangelism? What do you mean by that, Pastor Brown? Well, there's a lot of ways to evangelize. There's mass crusades. There's door-to-door evangelism, right? There's mail-outs, and there's interacting with people online and speaking the Word of God and all those. There's a lot of ways. But Peter said, here's a way. He said, if you will sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and if you're ready always to give an answer to every man that asks of you a reason of the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. So listen what he's saying. He's saying if hope's alive inside of you and you feel secure and you feel confident and you're not concerned, and I'm not saying we're not concerned in prayer about the situation in the economy or the political climate, but what I am saying is that we're secure in God, that kingdoms of this world will rise and fall, but there is a kingdom that's in the earth today that will not be moved. Come on, somebody. And so we have our hope in Christ, and as a result of it, it's affected our countenance. And the writer Peter is saying is that when you are working in life, you're on the job, whatever it is, you're sitting at the senior citizen center, whatever it is, it should be reflected. That hope should be reflected inside you to the degree that others want to know what gives you such confidence in the hour in which we live. And it's because of hope. And you can take that as a tool of evangelism. Hebrews 6 and 19, I love this. It's a little word with big impact, hope. Hope is the anchor for the soul. It's the anchor for it. It keeps you in place in your fellowship with God. So hope, this little word with big impact, provides security, gladness, strength, courage, produces a healthy countenance. Come on, somebody, praise, refuge. It brings God pleasure when you possess it, when you walk in it, when it's demonstrated in your life. It gives you peace. It gives you confidence. It makes you a bright and shining witness for the glory of God. And it becomes an anchor for your soul. I'm anchored to God through hope. Praise the Lord. So one of the ways in which hope develops, let me talk to you about it for just a minute of time. How does hope develop in the heart and life of a believer? How many believe that almost all spiritual dynamics or spiritual graces in the heart and life of a believer still grows inside you, right? I know it produces growth in you, but then there's a development of even that grace in your heart and life. Just like when God put a grace of a ministry gift or a calling in your life, it doesn't mean that it doesn't still yet develop, right? Whatever it is, you develop, you see it develop. And so there's a way in which hope develops in the life of a believer, but it's the one that we often run from and we shun. But if we'll look at it closely and we allow God to work in us, both to will and to do of His good pleasure, then there's no season of life when He will not still grow us and mature us in faith in Christ. So let's read this together here. It's only five verses here in Romans chapter number 5. For he writes here, the Apostle Paul, this is our third or fourth reference from the concerning hope, the little word with big impact, hope. He says, therefore, we're justified by faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's right there. We're justified, and we have peace with God. Well, I'm waiting for a well-timed amen. If the lack of it, I hope, doesn't mean that you don't understand it. You are justified by faith, and you are at peace with God. Can we not pause on that and think for just a moment? I am justified by faith, right? That it was a courtroom, and I was tried, and I was found guilty, and I was just about to face the eternal penalty of separation from God. But an advocate came from the heart of God, and he came and he said, he is deserving of death, but I'll take his penalty. And I want you, God, to take my righteousness and put it over on him. And so I want you, God, to declare him justified or made just in the eyes of God because not of his action, because he's guilty, but because of the action of the advocate. So you're justified by faith, and you are at peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can be like your children. You can lay you down at night in peace, right, in confidence. I don't have to go to bed at night wondering if I'm saved. I'm saved because I'm at peace with God. Hallelujah. And don't let, I'm gonna sidetrack if I'm not careful. By whom we are all have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in expectation of the glory of God. There's a greater glory to be revealed in us. Oh, come on, church family. There's a greater glory. We're moved from glory to glory. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. But he said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations. Somebody lock the door. Don't let the people out. But here's what he said. We've got to, this is a part of your spiritual maturity, is that there are times when you learn to glory. You learn that you say, I'm going to glory in my tribulation because I know God's going to do a great work in this season of trial that I find myself in. The other writer said it this way. He said, count it all joy when you fall into many temptations, diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith develops patience. Here, Paul uses this, and he says, we glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation will work or develop patience in your life. And patience is not just waiting. You know, I've told you before, to me, the mental image that I think we have of the culture today of what patience is to be at the revenue office at about 2 o'clock and have 17 people in front of you, and you think to yourself, oh, my gosh, how long is this? Am I going to have to wait? And we think that's patience. That's not biblical patience. Biblical patience is to be steadfast, immovable, that I'm not on a calendar here. I'm in God's timing. I'm trusting the Lord. Come on, somebody. I may not possess it yet, but I possess it by faith. Faith is the substance of that which I hope for. It's unseen. I'm not dwelling. I'm not living with it, but I see it by the eye of faith, and I'm going to hope or I expect it. I'm going to wait on it. Right? And so that's what patience is. It is a steadfast, immovable. And then as you're going through trial and you're going through this season that you might find yourself, it will develop something called an experience. How many know we all need experience? Right? We do. We need experiences because experience creates testimony. Right? And we all need a testimony. Right? We need to be able to look others in the eye and say, let me tell you, there's a way I can tell you God's going to do it because He's faithful. And say, we can look at people that are going through the very traumatic moments, and you have trauma in life. I don't want you to think for a moment of time that I'm preaching here today telling you that there's not difficult times. There are difficult times in life, but I came along to tell you that God will work in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And if you'll count it all joy when you find yourself in different temptations or diverse temptations, and you'll say, I'm going to glory in tribulation because I want patience to work, and that patience is going to give me an experience. And once I have that experience, wow, that's a good word right there. Then I got hope. Then I'll carry that with me all the days of my life. Why did David have the courage to face Goliath? Why? Why would a 17-year-old young boy who has never fought on the battlefield, never even waged warfare at all, how did he have the courage to say that I'll fight the giant? Because he said, I was in the sheepfold, and in the darkness of the night, a lion came out, and it took one of my father's sheep. And he said, and on another occasion, a bear came out and stole another one. And David said this, I ran them both down by the glory of God. I caught hold of the lion by his beard. And he said, and I slew it, and I fought the bear, and I slew it. And he said, I want you to know, King, that uncircumcised Philistine's going to be just like the bear and just like the lion. The reason he had hope is because he had an experience. And so that's why we don't run from tribulation, because God can work something in us now that'll give us a greater victory later. Come on, somebody. Patience, experience, and experience hope. The fifth verse, and hope will make you not ashamed. Because the love of God is shed. And that word ashamed there goes back to countenance again. In the actual original language, it means to blush. So you don't have to blush when you're in trial and tribulation, when you've got experience, because you know God's faithful. And God's proven Himself. Come on, somebody. He's proven Himself to be faithful. So hope affects a lot of areas. It's a little word with big impact. He's the God of hope. I was really encouraged, church family, as I was studying. And just reading through some this week and then early this morning, kind of preparing my heart to minister the word to you. And as I'm just following and just seeing the many usages of the word hope and the context in which it was written and the stimulus in my heart and the effect that it had on even my life. Just going from yesterday to today, my entire countenance changed because I went to the Word of God and I saw the power of hope. Come on, somebody. Because let me tell you, a tragic place to be, is when you lose hope. To me, it's one of the saddest places to be. That's why I curse that mindset that says you're giving people false hope. I'd rather live every day with hope and die having not received it than to be told there is no hope. Come on. That's just so I would rather every day of my life say anything can change because anything's possible with God. Right? Proverbs 13:12 says this, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And when your heart is sick, your body's sick. And your countenance is sick. And then oftentimes your family gets sick. And there's brokenness in the home. It's a tragic place to be, hopeless. Did you know when Job lost all? Remember the story of Job? He lost everything. He lost his hope in the trauma and in the sadness of death and loss. For he would write, "He hath destroyed me on every side, and I am gone. And mine hope hath he removed like a tree." It's a sad place. I didn't include this verse, but I found this verse instead. Not this verse, but one that's a parallel to it, though. Let me read that again. "He hath destroyed me on every side. I'm gone, and my hope hath he removed like a tree." The writer of Proverbs, Solomon, would later say that when a tree is cut down, there is hope that it will come back again. But Job, in that helpless, hopeless situation, he couldn't see beyond. Jeremiah 18 and 12 says, "They said, there is no hope. So therefore we will walk after our own ways." Did you know oftentimes when we don't have hope, we wander in dark places, making terrible decisions that only make matters worse because we've lost hope. Lamentations 3 and 18, Jeremiah said, "My strength and my hope is perished from the Lord." The Bible, remember what the Bible tells the whole story. The Bible shows you both sides. The Bible shows you believing, but also shows you when people are caught in a terrible moment when they've lost hope. The book of Ezekiel says this, "Our bones are dried and our hope is lost." So to be hopeless is tragic, it's sad, there's despair and there's depression. Your health and your countenance is affected. It all depends upon the four-letter word that can bring big impact, hope. Let me tell you one story here in closing today. Hope. I thank God he's the God of hope today. Praise the Lord. Amen. God's the God of hope. You know, one thing I want to encourage you, if I can. God wants you to live life with a smile because it's a reflection of hope in your heart. Oh, that's a good word, isn't it? It's a reflection of hope in the heart and life of a believer. God's working in you. You have expectation. Even though things might be difficult right now. Paul was en route to Rome, one of the recorded passages in the book of Acts, when he's been taken after having gone to Jerusalem, as his heart was to go to Jerusalem. He had longed to go to Jerusalem, only to be put in chains there. And he's appealed, as many of you know, to Caesar. And as a result of it, he spent 2 years in Caesarea. And then from there, he boards a ship. He begins this journey along with many other prisoners. For what reason they're political or prisoners, we don't know, but a number of prisoners en route to Rome. They, because of the time of the year that the sailing is taking place, there's a couple different routes that they've chosen to take because it's a little bit later in the year. And they went to a certain haven there, and I've preached about this, and every preacher's preached about it at some point in time, but a particular haven, I think off the coast of Crete, I think it is, where they paused for a little while. And Paul had a prophetic word. He had a revelation from God, and he said, you know what? He called the master of the ship, and he said, even though he's a political prisoner, how many know grace can work in you in the difficult times? Let's go back and pick that up for just a moment of time. Can we for just a second? Paul is a prisoner, and yet the Spirit of God is working in him, warning him to tell the captain of the ship that they are in danger of their life and they need to go ahead and just wait the winter out in the harbor that they're in. But the scripture says that they didn't heed his advice. And as a result, they loosed from there and they sailed close by Crete, the scripture says. But after a period of time, a great storm blows up. How many know that every one of us have those moments in life when great storms blow up? Unforeseen to many, but wasn't unforeseen to God. And as they get, the ship gets caught in it, and they can't bear it up in the wind, and so they just have to literally let her drive. And you read this on your own, then they do everything humanly possible to fight against the storm. They begin to throw tackling overboard. They begin to run cables underneath the ship because they're afraid that it's going to break up. They're tossed with the tempest. They're throwing things again overboard. The third day, they're tossing the tackling out of the ship. And then the Bible says this. The Bible says that neither sun nor stars, of the 27th chapter of the book of Acts, the 20th verse, said, listen to this, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. In the natural, it was a hopeless situation. It was affecting the entire person of all the people. If we could have just looked at, there were 276 men on that ship, including sailors, including soldiers, including those that were traveling with Paul, and including other prisoners. 276 men were on that ship. And in that passage there, it says that they arrived at that moment where the writer Luke, who was probably with him at that moment, Paul, is writing, and he says, all hope that we should be saved was lost. It was taken away. That's a tough place to be. People come to church every week and they're just like that. They've lost hope. But I came along to tell you today that the story doesn't end in the 20th verse. Because in the midst of that despair, let me tell you about the God that you and I serve. The God that you and I serve had his hand on the apostle. And the God that you and I serve had already promised Paul that he was going to take him to Rome. Because he said, you're going to have to testify in front of Caesar. And if God said it, then you can bank on it. He's going to bring it to pass. And so in the midst of all that despair, God in his sovereign grace did something. He sent an angel that appeared somewhere in the darkness of the cavity of that ship when there was no light present. They hadn't seen the sun or the stars for 14 plus days. But the glory of God whispered in the ear of the Apostle Paul and said, Paul, fear not. I've given every sailor into your hand, and you're going to be brought before Caesar. And look how that passage closes. I believe it's in the 23rd through the 25th verse. He said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He said, fear not, Paul. You're going to have to be brought before Caesar. God's given you all them that sail with you. And so this is now Paul's own confession. He said, sir, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told unto me. And that little word of faith whispered in the ear of the apostle changed the entire dynamic of the 276 men on the ship, because one man let a word from God get in his heart, agitate hope within him until he had the confidence to lift his voice up and tell the men, we are not going to die, we are going to yet live because of the grace of Almighty God. Hallelujah today. Don't tell me that hope doesn't have great impact. If your countenance is falling, then you need to trust the Lord. Caleb joins me on the platform, and I'll see if the prayers of some have been answered. I've preached a shorter time today. It was possible. Hope. Four-letter words that have great impact. JoJo preached that message years ago, and I remembered the title, and I was thinking and praying. That just tells you about the power of the word. Because it's taken right from the scripture. Yet there is hope. I don't know about you, but I need to hear that today. There's hope. There's a lot made about the political climate in America today, especially after this past week. And I don't mind telling you, I'm very transparent. I'm red. I pray for a red wave. Constantly. But I will say this, no matter what happens in the political outcomes, there's hope. Did you know all of the money that you have today, unless it's buried as a gold coin under your house, is just a digital currency that could be gone tomorrow? The system could fail tomorrow and you could go there and they'd say, I'm sorry, we can't, it was wiped clean, we don't know. But how many of you know that you and I have hope? That God will never leave us, He'll never forsake us. The worlds can change around us, but He does not change. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And in your darkest hour, if you'll listen, He'll speak hope to you. Hope of a brighter day. Hope of a brighter tomorrow. Hope of the promise of God. As a pastor, I walk with people during some dark places in life. I've seen people go through some very painful experiences. I've stood alongside them when babies that they waited for 9 months, that they had full expectation that they would take home from the hospital, but they did not. And 3 days later, we put the small infant in a casket the size of a bread basket and buried it. It's a very painful place to be. I've watched families that people were married for many years and then discovered that there was something that caused them to drift apart. And they looked up and they go through a painful divorce and one goes this way and I see one that's left and I know the pain and the trauma that they've gone through and I can't alleviate it. But I see them in those difficult places. We've been around tragedy in the church before. We've gotten those phone calls where there was a terrible car accident. Somebody in the prime of life was suddenly taken, and a family seems devastated. In this world, you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And so therefore, you can have hope. And so if you've gone and you're in a situation right now, I want you to know God is glorified when you believe for a brighter day. When you believe for a brighter day. And I believe with God, He'll bring you into that brighter day. Do y'all believe that today, church family? Did you know when you and I were outside of covenant faith with God, we had no hope? But through Christ, we now possess the hope of eternal life. And because of the hope of eternal life, I have the hope of His blessing on this life. Hope. A small word with big impact. And all I've done today is just graze the surface of it. It's a spiritual grace. Can I tell you that today? It's a supernatural work of the Spirit of God in your life. I can't give it to you. I can encourage you by the Word. And you must receive it by faith. And then an expectation gets created inside of you. And it changes everything about you. You can go from downcast. If we would have read that story farther in Acts chapter 27, the Bible says, like the next day, they hadn't eaten in over 2 weeks because they were trying to fast that the storm would pass. But Paul, this is where faith and hope working together, Paul said, give me some bread. Give me some meat. And he ate in the presence of all the men. And he did so because he wanted them to know, I'm expecting that we're going to need the strength to get to the shore. Because we're not. If you're perishing in the water, you don't need to eat. But if you're going to need strength to go to shore, you need to eat. And the Bible says when they ate, that every man's heart was lifted. The power of hope inside of you can affect the lives of others in a powerful way. Your testimony, your word, if your countenance is down, let me tell you today, God does not want you to live your life with your countenance down, disheartened, in disbelief, and in disdain. He wants you to live life through the power of hope. Our heads bowed and our eyes closed today for a moment of time. I thank the Lord for his presence. I don't know who I'm preaching here today to. I'm preaching to this great congregation of men and women that I don't just call fellowship, but it's my family. It's my church family. We walk difficult roads together. We encourage one another. We strengthen one another. We pray for one another. And I've come to this house today to tell you that God's the God of hope. God's the God of hope. Believe him for it. Ask God to stir the grace of hope in your heart and your life. Trust in the Lord. If you have to, speak to your own soul. So why are you disquieted within me? Hope thou in God. Who here today and say, Pastor, man, I came to church today and I didn't know, but I'm just in a tough place. You know, sometimes things can be going relatively good in your life and you can still be in a tough place emotionally. Are you out there today? You can have a relatively peaceful season in your life, but inwardly, your countenance, you're struggling, you're wavering. Let God stir hope in your heart today. I believe he already has by faith, by hearing the word of God. But I want to ask you today, here today, as your pastor and hopefully your friend, who here today would just be honest with me by the upraised hand, say, Pastor, today, I've been in a really dark place, a difficult place, and I need the hope that only God can give. If that's you, slip your hand up because I want to pray with you today. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Several hands today. A number of people in our church, and this is very private. We're going to keep this private here today. It's between you and the Lord. I thank God for his Holy Spirit. I just want you to know today God loves you. Trust him with all your heart. Let's pray for the Lord to lead us here today to how to close this service off, this moment right here. You know, sometimes God fixes things on the outside. But sometimes he fixes things on the inside before it's revealed on the outside. Did you hear that today? That's a good word. That's a good word right there. It's internal. It's a work of the Spirit. It's in your heart. It will be reflected by how you live. It's going to be reflected in your countenance. It's going to be reflected in your confession. If you have hope, then you have expectation. Won't y'all stand up with me? Let's pray together. Let's pray. Let's turn this into a house of prayer for just a moment of time. Let's begin to pray for one another for just a moment of time. I'm mic'd up, and we're going to just kind of pray in the Spirit. Come on. Let's let this be a moment. Let's turn the entire house into an altar for a moment of time. Church family, there was probably 15 or maybe as many as 20 people that raised their hand that said, I'm in a dark place. I'm in a difficult place. And most of us would never know it. You would hug their neck or shake their hand in the foyer, and you wouldn't know that they're wavering on the inside, and they need a supernatural work of the grace of God, the supernatural work of the Spirit of God in their heart and life today. And we're praying one for the other. Would you begin to pray right now? And let's turn this house into a house of prayer. You're praying for your brother or your sister that's to your left or to your right. And your prayer today is that the God of all hope, the God of all hope would grant them hope in believing. God, I pray today. I looked across the congregation and I saw young men. And I saw young ladies. I saw, Father God, middle-aged men and middle-aged ladies. And I saw older folk, God, raise their hand to say, I'm struggling on the inside right now. And my heart breaks for them today, God, in the name of Jesus. And I pray today that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you will give them hope. God, stir their hearts today in the name of Jesus. Whisper in their ear like the angel whispered in the ear of Paul. God, let the sermon that was preached today be a stimulus for faith. hope in their heart. Change their countenances, God. Let them walk differently. Let them go through life differently. Come on, somebody. Let it not just be a moment, just a singular flash of hope, but let it be a perpetual work of grace in their heart and in their life. God, that the Spirit of the Lord will give them a special dynamic of hope and will create expectation in them. God, I pray for them. They're my brothers and sisters, and I want to say it again. My heart yearns for them today. And I pray today that, God, the dynamic of hope will be in their heart, and they'll live life with expectation. Not just wanting, not just longing, but expecting that God's going to bring them through it. You're going to bring them to a brighter day. You're going to bring them to a new tomorrow, God. So I bless every man and every woman under the sound of my voice. Now, before we close this prayer, as our heads are bowed and eyes closed, there's one last thing that I want to just say in this context, because I want to make sure I'm true. I preach a lot to the church, to the church, to the church. But I never know there could be somebody under the sound of my voice that you don't have the hope of eternal life. The thoughts of dying, the thoughts of passing into eternity is very fearful for you, because you don't have that confidence that you're at peace with God. Today, you can have the hope of eternal life. The same way the believer can have the hope of a brighter tomorrow, you can have the hope of eternal life in your heart today. You can walk out of here today with the clearest of confidence that you're saved and you're prepared to meet God. If there's anybody here today under the sound of my voice that says, Pastor, you're preaching to me now. You're preaching to me. Pray for me today, Pastor. Pray with me. Raise your hand up. I'll pray with you before we close. Anyone else? Anyone today? Anyone? Anyone today? Father God, today I love you. I'm thankful for the men and women of our assembly. Let it work. Let the Spirit of God. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. I feel Him right there. Vanessa, I feel the Spirit of the Lord on your heart right there today, in Jesus' name. I feel the Spirit of God on some of you today, and I don't want to rush. I don't want to rush. I'm trying to let people out of here today, but I want the Spirit of God to have a work of grace. People need hope. Hope. God can give you a new tomorrow. Maybe you need to change your confession. Maybe you need to begin to speak the word of faith. God called things that be not as though they were. Don't give place to unbelief. Listen, trial does not have to hinder your profession of faith. In trial, you can continue to believe, stand fast, have expectation. God's going to bring us through it. God will navigate His way out of this situation. I'll overcome or I'll come through. Come on, somebody. Some way, somehow, God's going to bring me through it. He's going to give you a grace. You know what that is? You didn't know what it was working in you. It was hope. It was expectation that God would bring you to the other side. So, Lord, today I bless the people. I've got to let them out. I preached too long. But I bless them today. May this work of grace continue. I know that I pray longer than a lot of pastors preach. But I believe in spiritual grace. Spiritual grace of hope. Let the people walk out of here today and let their countenances begin to reflect the hope that's working within them. In Jesus' mighty name, and all God's children said amen and amen and amen and amen and amen.